You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
So let's remember how first God told him to go to Nineveh to deliver a specific message from God. Second, Jonah ran from God instead of doing what he was told to do. Now, I really love the fact that Jonah ran from God. He didn't just say no. He didn't ignore him. He ran. So for me, it tells me that Jonah maybe wasn't that smart. Because I don't know about you, but you can't run from God, I don't think. I think God pretty much finds you. And I've said no lots of times, and I've ignored God lots of times. And I admit that to you. But to run from God, not a smart move. And then, of course, Jonah ends up on a ship, fleeing God. And then things really begin to happen. Because a hurricane, I would call it a hurricane, comes up. And the ship is being tossed and turned. And that brings us to today's lesson. Because Jonah confesses to the sailors that it is his fault that this storm has happened. And he says to the sailors, "You can throw me overboard." Now, when I was younger, I used to think, oh, wasn't he so cool? I mean, he's like noble, and he's going, go ahead, you can throw me overboard. But now I realize he was a creep. Because he didn't say, I'm jumping overboard. He was going to make the sailors do it for him and make them be culpable in his death. And really, Jonah could have just said, okay, let's turn around and go back, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But oh no, not Jonah. He continues to run from God, but now he's putting other people at risk. And of course, we know that the sailors do try to go back, and finally, they do throw Jonah off the boat, but they ask Jonah's God for forgiveness and for grace, because they know that's their only chance. But of course, God helps Jonah. He provides a big fish. And Jonah is swallowed up into the stomach of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And it is then, in that terrible circumstance, that Jonah finally starts to talk to God. Because there's no scriptural evidence before this that Jonah actually had a conversation with God. God tells Jonah what to do, Jonah runs away. But now, God has brought Jonah to the point where all of the distractions that Jonah has in his life are gone. It's just the stomach of the big fish where Jonah's sitting and God. God puts Jonah in a position where the only thing he can do is talk to him. This week, it broke my heart when a lady and man came to the church and wanted to spend some time in here praying. And as I walked them in, and she was just sobbing. She was a totally broken woman. And I said to her, "May I pray with you? Is there something that I can do?" And she said that her son had been killed in a motorcycle accident. And she was just broken, her heart and her spirit and her body. And as I prayed with her, she said, "What should I do?" And she wasn't asking me about making arrangements or anything like that. She meant, "What should I do with my life? What should I do going forward?" It's a great question. What should I do? And so I said to her what I think most of you would have said, which was, "Let's go to God in prayer." And you have to continually go to God in prayer, because there really is nothing else that you can do. And when we read Jonah's prayer, we realize that at this point, not only is Jonah willing to talk to God, but he is willing to acknowledge the responsiveness of God. In verse 2, we see he says, I called upon the Lord, and he answered me. Jonah is willing to acknowledge the compassion of God. In verse 6, we see, you brought me up from the pit. And Jonah is willing to recognize the grace of God. In verse 9, salvation comes from the Lord. And it seems that Jonah was in the belly of the whale just the right amount of time to get him where he needed to be, to move him from his disobedient self to his repentant self. So this week, Pastor John and I were talking about this passage, and he suggested that Jonah's experience was very much like a time of retreat. And there are so many examples in the Bible about retreats. Of course, one of the most famous, probably the most famous, is when Jesus went to the desert for 40 days and he was tempted by Satan. And this story about Jesus' retreat is in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke. Retreats are important. Taking the time, either forced, because often we are forced to take a retreat, or willingly, to reflect and reorder our lives, usually makes us stronger. And these times of reflection often come when we are in the worst place in our lives, when we are desperate, when we are broken, when we're really messed up. In fact, when we're in our belly of the whale situation. And so we can look at Jonah's situation as a forced retreat by God. Sometimes I think about, if I were God, let me continue, if I were God, what would I think of Jonah? Would I have actually cared enough to listen to him? This week I read a commentary, and it said, the hardest thing to believe about the book of Jonah is not that he was swallowed into the belly of a fish, but that God still cared enough about Jonah to provide the fish. And I thought that was just terrific. Also this week, I had a chance to have lunch with a member of our congregation, and she was a new person I just met a couple weeks ago. And she was sharing her story with me, and I blurted out, you are truly in the belly of a fish. And she sort of looked at me startled and started laughing and said, yes, that is absolutely true. And I realized I'd really been reading Jonah way too long. But it was exactly right. And I think many, many times in our lives, we are in that belly of the fish. We are in a vile mess. And we want to run away. Or sometimes we even have run away from our lives or what we know we have to do. We happily get distracted by other things so we don't have to face reality. And I'm not saying these distractions are bad things. Sometimes they're very important to our lives. Sometimes they're essential to our well-being. They're not frivolous, but they're comfortable distractions that fill our time. And so we don't have time to do what we know God wants us to do. And it happens to me a lot. I don't have time to do that. And yet I know I do. And occasionally, God puts me in the belly of a fish. God will go to incredible lengths to show us what we are to do. God will go to incredible lengths to save us from ourselves. God will not give up on us, even if we give up on ourselves. The last verse in chapter 2 says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, as you know, I work with children here at the church, and the kids really like that verse because the word vomit is in the Bible, and that's sort of a cool thing. I often say yuck, but The idea that when Jonah's reflection or retreat or correction was done, once again, God took care of him and comforted him. God moves a renewed Jonah onto dry land, into a safe place. Jonah's time of isolation is past, and he is ready to move forward. God now has Jonah's full attention, and Jonah is ready to listen and obey God. And so when our time of isolation is past and we have been renewed, our God will put us in a safe place on dry land. So I ask each one of you, are you or someone you know in the belly of a whale? Is there something God is calling you to do? What does it take for God to get your attention? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.